fellowship of ministry, expand our spirit, strength, and hope with each other, that they may find and resolve their common problem and help others to recover from drug addiction and alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using and drinking. There are no dues or fees for NA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. NA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. We do not wish to engage in any cause. Our primary purpose is to stay clean and sober and help other addicts and alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
I'm an alcoholic and an addict. How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make an effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. They are suggested only that they are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, over our addiction, and that our life had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Although there are no months in NA, there are three things that are seeming indispensable. These are honesty, open-mindedness, and a willingness to try. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that the approach to the problem of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that that the sooner we face our problem within our society in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of our society, of that society. The only way to keep from getting or continuing a habit is not to take that first fix, pill, or drink. You are like us. You know that one is too many and a thousand never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again or create a new one. The substitution of alcohol has caused a great many addicts to form a new addiction pattern, which in its progression brings as many problems as before. We seem to forget that alcohol is one of the oldest known drugs. It would appear that we are people with addictive personalities who are strongly susceptible to alcoholic addiction. Thank you.
If I remember correctly, it's been possible at this meeting to go around the room and identify yourself.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi,
Manuel.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Don. Hi, Brooks. Hi, Randy. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Mario.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Joe. Hi, Lynn.
My name's Ray. I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Chuck.
My name's John. I'm sober.
Hi, John. My name is Bill. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Bob.
This is not a question and answer meeting, nor is it a participation type in generally accepted sense. Has sometimes been called a quick step meeting, and in hope that it will fill a specific need, has been specifically designed to afford each person a chance to speak from his gut level, to say whatever is on his mind without wondering how well he is communicating or getting that point across to the rest of us. In fact, it is important in this group, but it isn't important in this group whether or not you communicate with the others at all. It is important that you communicate with yourself. Many of us have posed questions and might have answered ourselves just through this sort of thinking out loud process. Since there is no time limit as to how long each person speaks at this meeting, there is a subject limitation. You try as best you can to talk about the last week only, no hype or jump alarm. After identifying yourself, if you feel you have nothing to say, it's perfectly acceptable to pass. So leave the time for someone else who may need it. Also, since the time element is important, there is someone who feels they have a great need to talk, we ask the person to raise his hand right away, so they will not find themselves left out or with little time to speak when they are called on in order. As you speak, tell us if you think you're doing right or wrong. That accounts for your feeling good or bad this last week, but generally how you're making it right now. Have no cross discussion. Each person speaks one time only, and you have no applause at this meeting. Coffee will be served to you by our coffee man, and ask that you don't get up while people are talking, or whisper or talk privately. So if there's anyone that has a great need to speak,
diabetic, you know. And the doctors told him that he shouldn't drink and all that, you know, but he's still out there doing it, you know. And like in a way, you know, that doesn't make any difference. I went to the doctor today, and man, not a cold day, you know, just tired. So the doctor told me that she thought I was diabetic, you know, so I got him off the test, but you know, like she was telling me you know, if you're drinking, you have to find out this guy. So I said, well, I don't have any trouble that way, if you're gonna do this. But it's just a thing that I thought about. If they would have told me that about 8 months ago, you know, stop drinking because you're diabetic or using because I got some kind of illness. Well, no way. No way on this earth because no one could tell me because of losing my wife or losing a job or even if I was a diabetic. You know, don't just because of that. I just couldn't have done it. But I just had to do it on my, you know, because I was tired. I just got, like they say, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And like I say, there's just no reason except myself. Just get tired of the hangovers of coming down. When you want to use, you can't find anybody scoring. You know, always having to look for work, always having to lie. Always having to make excuses. And, but today I don't have to do that anymore. In fact, yesterday, 13th, I have 8 months on this program, 3 months older. And, like to me, just to like myself is something, because I never have liked myself. I didn't think too much of myself. And now I do. Now I, you know, I believe in me. Maybe what other people think of me, well, that's it. That's it, Bob. But, like I said, I like myself. I mean, there's just one reason to that, because I'm in this program. And people, when a person has one day, 20 years, they've helped me. And like I try to follow the principle of this program. I just don't use, I just don't drink today. And it's helped me in these 8 months. Like I said, I've started to like myself. I started to believe in myself. And it's funny, but for 8 months I've had a job, I haven't gotten fired. I haven't gotten busted in 8 months. I haven't had to have a hangover in 8 months. So there's something to this program if you're looking for it and you want it. And I wanted it. I wanted it pretty bad. I wanted something, you know. I wanted to stop, just stop all that crap because I didn't know what was, I didn't know why I was doing it, but I knew there had to be some kind of answer. And I didn't believe in God, you know. I'm not the religious type. But now I do believe that there's something else more to it than, you know, what there is here. And sometimes I wish to call my higher power, but I guess that's, you know, that's the way it's got to be until I can, I don't know, maybe I'll get a spiritual awakening, but I do believe there is something better than myself. It's helped me, besides this program. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Hi, Ron.
My name's Marlene. I'm an addict and
alcoholic. Hi, Marlene.
I had a pretty good meeting yesterday with my friends. I don't know, like, I've had a hard time caring and kind of progressing. The only thing I have to say is, like, on this program, don't use or take that first fixed pill or drink, there's people that will go to any ways just about to help you keep your sobriety. But like I used to hear Ray say, you know, you take it and you go to hell by yourself. That's really, you know, just don't take it.
My name is Helene. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Helene.
In my head, I've been off into, am I real or is this a fantasy? How real am I? You know, I pick up a lot, I go to a lot of meetings and I pick up a lot. I don't remember everything, you know, but I pick up a lot of things that I didn't get. And I go off on trips. But I have a year tonight clean and sober, first year ever clean and sober since I was 16, 14, 15. And I don't feel like I've changed that much. try to write about them like ordinary people, you know. I don't know, like how to, you know, like some people write down their dreams in Victoria. I gotta write about like the things, because the feelings get all together, like all at once, you know, and always I feel sad. You know, even from like if I write about a good feeling, I start getting sad. And a lot of the shit that I wrote down had to do with I still don't feed me, from like the toes to the head. And that isn't changing very much. Sometimes I can't decide, do I still have a desire to you, you know? And sometimes I get crazy, like it just go on forever, you know. I went to a meeting this afternoon because I was looking for another sponsor. I didn't stay because I thought the mail would bring other things to do, but they just saw it on the covers again. And I walked in and like some people, I don't know, they were in one trip, and I'm glad I missed that because I heard it was really maybe trip from somebody else. And then they got into the talking that you hear constantly around the program. If you don't use, everything will get better, everything will get better. Well, folks, it don't get better that fast. You know, this has been a very long year for me. And I really wanted to get, you know, like every ship I got, I picked up. You know, but it's been a different year. Like the first year I came around, only from very few people did I hear things talked about, open up the book, or work the steps, or let's talk about the steps. I don't know why I went to a lot of meetings, I just never heard those things. So I took all those things for granted, you know, that I could put them aside and it'll all come later, you know. Well, two slips later, you know, I know that like I have to work those steps and I have to go to the meetings. And I think the meetings, where else do I go to my whole social life? You know, it really is. You know, when I came out here, I didn't know any of the using addicts, like from years ago when I was using them. They were all dead or in jail or just in another scene. I didn't want to relate to that. So like, where do I go? There's no other scene I really can relate to that comfortable, except around other addicts that are clean. Because I don't dig being around people that are good, around good people that are drinking, or whether they're normal drinkers, or abnormal drinkers, or got a problem. I really don't dig it, you know, when it comes. I think it's really important that we use these meetings, man, to talk about, like, what does this program have to offer, you know, like, why are we here? Other than running down, you know, just the shit of like what we did today, yesterday, whatever. I think it's important because I didn't hear those things the first year and I lost that year. And this year I feel like I didn't utilize the tools that are available to me. Or maybe, you know, it's not that short, you think, but like maybe I would be feeling better than I am today. I think it's important that you go to sponsors other than being self-run, your own journal logs or dope logs and time flows, how are you? I think it's important that you get working with somebody that has some sobriety. I mean, because I really look at those people and say, I'm 13, 14 years. You know, because sometimes this thing gets like really corny. And I'm very corny. You know, to me, yeah, they got to pinch with that. This guy, like, had 15 years. He was from the Burbank meeting, and I got, like, a feeling about the Burbank meeting, you know. But I don't know why, you know, like, I never really gave it a chance, other than, like, they had some time to bid New Year's Eve that I pulled it on me. You know, and he was really amazing, you know. I mean, he was very funny, and his story was tragic. Everybody's story was tragic, but, like, he was able to get it there. Get some message across, you know, that his life was better today. You know, he made funnies out of all those tragic scenes. I can do that too, except they were really sick numbers. A lot of real things have happened in my life. Really real things. And sometimes, and like, you know, something real happened like 2 weeks ago, and it's still like not real. You know what I mean? Like it's not really settled in my head that something real happened. But I'm really here.
okay. I feel good. But I was sitting here thinking that I haven't been thinking about what I've received from this program lately. You know, it's like I've gotten to a place where, like, I kind of take it for granted. You know, like, I've kind of gotten to the point where, okay, well, tonight I go to the meeting, and then after the meeting, you know, I go home and go over to this house and talk to a program and do this and that. And, like, you know, I'm kind of thinking, I have to stop and, like, think, what am I doing? Like, I've been said, you know, is this real? Is this a fantasy? Like, I sometimes get into the thing of, okay, well, I'm 19. You know, God, you know, I really feel young. You know, not even all so old, but I sometimes really feel young. But, and then I start getting into the thing like, you know, here I am 19, and to live a sober life, you know, and not to get screwed up with the drugs or alcohol again, you know, like I have to, you know, stick around for the rest of my life. And that, you know, sometimes that really screws in my head. But then, like, I go, you know, like, I'm grateful. I really am grateful. You know, it's so weird how my feelings are mixed. Like, I'll think this, and then, like, I'll think, well, I'm grateful that I found it. You know, I'm really grateful. But then I get into that pity thing of, yeah, but I'm doomed for life or not. You know, addiction. But, like, I love this life that I have now, you know. It's like, the things that I've received in this program are like, I couldn't match them to anything that I've ever received from the thing of getting loaded or being drunk. The main thing is like, I can remember things now, you know. I can remember having a good time. I can remember that I have to be somewhere and not say, okay, well, I'll be there and not show up, you know, I'm there. You know, like, I feel now that I'm somewhat responsible, but, like, I'm not really responsible like a working man, working woman. I don't want to be like that, you know. I don't want to be that way, but, like, I think I can be a, I don't want to talk about it, but, like, I think that it's hard for me to explain things to me. I've got so many things inside of me. I know that I gotta get it out. I'm just going nuts. It's like I don't have a sponsor. And in a way, like, I use all the people for my sponsor. I really need to get one. But, like, I make excuses of, like, this lady on AA, I wanted to ask for my sponsor. And, you know, she's her name's Marnie, 15, 14 years of writing. And, you know, she's like an idol. You know, I just love her name. You know, I really get scared to talk to her. I'm like, so one day, I was like, I got a nerve, you know, she's at the restaurant. I started going back in, and I said, okay, there's been a chance, you know, God gave me this chance to go out and talk to her. And, like, I got up, and I went to talk to her, and, like, she was with her friends eating a cheeseburger, and so, like, I didn't think it'd be cool if I went up to her, and then I was eating a cheeseburger, you know, and her lunch, and asked her, you know, if I thought it got rude. So that was my excuse for not asking her. I've been looking for her since, I can't find her, so I guess I'm just going to wait until a higher power tells me that it's okay. Like, I've received, I don't know, I guess I have to say what's good about this program instead of dwelling on the negative thought. Because, like, even though, you know, the negativity that I hear from other people does me good, I know that I can't, you know, I can't sit around and, like, I've got to listen to people that are going to give me something. You know, like everybody does, I've got to believe in the people that are working the program, you know. And it's real. I only hear what I want to hear sometimes. And, like, if somebody says to me, okay, well, you're doing this wrong, it's like my nature. It's always been my nature to believe them more than if they say you're doing it right. You know, and that's been really screwing me lately because, like, I don't know who to believe on this program. You know, it's like I don't really believe anybody anymore. You know, and I don't believe myself after if I'm Mexican or no, then I'm kidding. Like, I really can't, I don't know who to trust on this program, you know, and it's sad. You know, these are the only people that I hang around with, people on the program, mostly, you know, unless I bump into somebody on the street, you know, like I don't go out of the way to go see my old friends, you know, like I don't have anything to do with my old friends anymore. It's really hard, like I started to believe that, like all the people in the program are saying because they're here and I've gotten to the point where I really don't really believe, you know. It's like I really don't have that many friends. It's really good. It bothers me so much. But I don't know. No matter what I do on this program, I can't really feel bad. You know, like that's one of the best things I've gotten from it. I've learned to accept the hurting. You know, I've learned to accept the lonely times when I don't think I have any friends, you know. I've learned to accept the times when I can't trust anybody. But I've learned to accept the times when people tell me that I'm doing something wrong and I believe them. It's like they plant a bad seed in me and I let it grow. Like I've learned from these feelings and I don't get loaded over. You know, that's the main thing. I don't get loaded from today. You know, like now today I can let people do things to me. You know, and I can accept it for what it is. Instead of having a building, something that I'm missing, you know? And if I don't like it, like that's something that I have to deal with instead of putting it on you. And if I like what somebody says to me, you know, tells me that I'm doing something wrong and tells me that I don't, you know, I'm not doing this and I should be doing that, like, you know, I start to put the blame on them. But the problem has taught me that, like, everything that I do, for everything that comes to me, I have to deal with it myself. You know, like I have to cope with my hurting. You know, I have to cope with my feeling good. You know, like right there, that's a hard thing to do, cope with feeling good. Sounds weird, but like I have to do that a lot. Sometimes I think that I'm feeling too good too much of the time. You know, that's really my breath. It's like I'm aware now of all my feelings, you know, and I really get going crazy with them. But it's okay, you know, like I know it's okay, and that's what's beautiful. That's what's probably giving me the most, you know, to be able to say, it's going to get better. You know, all the little stupid cliches, you know, like, I'm so glad that I heard them. When I first came to the program, I heard somebody say, turn it over, you know, but I thought they meant pancakes or something. I never, turn it over, turn what over, you know? I'm powerless, you know? I'm powerless right now. I don't know what I'm saying, but I know something's helping me say it. I'm like, I don't have any place else to go but you. You know, so I'm gonna do my best to make myself better with this program. And like, I'm here, so. Something got me here for a lot. I figure I've got it's my turn, you know. Whatever gave me the chance to still be alive and come to here, come to this program, you know, I'm going to do my best for it because I'm grateful that I am still alive. I really am. I don't think I'd make it through a month without, I don't think I'd make it a month on this program unless I realize once in a while, at least once in a while. Not more, that I'm still alive, you know. That I don't have to go out and use, you know, behind my feelings. That I don't have to play all these dope games. The games I play now are real games. That's all.
Cool. Yeah, my name is Bill. I'm an addict and alcoholic. That really set me to thinking because I've asked many of those same questions myself on this program, and I found out that if I can't love myself, I can't love somebody else. You know what I mean? If I can't trust myself, I can't trust other people. You know, I also found out that that when I listen to other people talk on this program, that about 95% of it, and I shouldn't just say, well, I'm another, you know, I found that out too, in the amends, and it says, except when you injure them or others. I'm not you, so I'm another, you know. So that includes me. That 95% of what you hear on this program is pure, unadulterated bullshit, man. You know, it has no fucking value whatsoever, you know. The other 5% is very heavy, though. You know what I mean? It's like when I hear people talking, man, I listen for the steps. Unfortunately, everybody's not so kind as to tell me, well, now I'm talking about step one. You know what I mean? See? Or now I'm talking about step three. This is turning it over. No, it became necessary for me to do the footwork, man, and read the steps and read the 12 and 12 and read the first 165 pages in the big book so that I could come to an understanding of what the hell they were talking about at these tables, man, you know. And away, and the people on the program away from the tables, you know. So my only judge, man, for myself, and this is what my sponsor passed on to me, you know, was that if I want to know, you know, what to take as real and truth, you know what I mean, and what to let go by, he says, if I can hear steps, he says, take it, man, and throw the rest away. You know what I mean? And that's truth. You know, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions is truth. That's the one thing that binds us all together, man, and makes recovery possible. The rest of us, man, well, you know, we're all sick motherfuckers, man, or we wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? Liars. Man, my best road game was to lie to myself so I could con you. You know what I mean? So I know that 90% or 95% of what comes out of me has got to be bullshit, you know? Okay? I don't want nobody telling me how to live, when to pay Seaboard finance, you know, when to change my pants, you know, when to quit my job, or you know what I mean, see, or when to blow my nose. All I want to know is how to apply some principle in my life so that I can get comfortable, so I don't have to shoot dope, man, and drink alcohol, you know, and go fucking nuts. And for me, that's the program in a whole nutshell, you know. Yeah, trust. Man, I talked to some people on this program, and you know what? I gave that guy all my innermost secrets, man, about all my innermost problems, and the son of a bitch went over and told my old lady and ran off with my old lady, man. You know, say, far out, man. You know, now he's stuck with her, man, and I'm enjoying my freedom for a couple of years, man. I thought it was the worst fucking thing that ever happened. I went and polished my gun, carved X's on bullets, got on an airplane, flew from San Francisco, sat in the parking lot, cocked it, put the motherfucker in the sights, and he's lucky he's alive, you know, see? But you know what? He's stuck with it, man, and I'm free, you know. So what? So it's his problem, man, you know. And today, man, I got my problems, my own living problems, you know. And I got me 12 steps and 12 traditions to try to apply to him. Talk about, you know, feeling mixed up. So I got a little time on a program. I feel scrambled all the time. My fucking brains feel like scrambled eggs. For a month, I've been running around with fucking feelings, man. You know, I feel like my whole gut is a series of hemorrhoids, man. Just pulsating and hanging out, you know. See? You know, like just full of tentacles. I feel really fucking shitty, man, for a long time now, you know. But so what? It hasn't been necessary for me to shoot dope because I can attain some kind of relief, you know what I mean? And some kind of good feelings from time to time, you know. And I don't have to go to the connection to do it. And I don't have to look over my shoulder, you know what I mean, and be worrying about whether I'm going to get busted, you know. Today, life is good, and that's why I came here. And I got a lot of my recovery right out of rooms like this, you know, listening to bullshit just like I'm saying. But I had to pick out the fragmentations, man. Like, just like a silkworm puts out, this is how minute I got it. A silkworm puts out a little tiny thread, man, that you can hardly see. I used to come to meetings, man, and I'd pull me a little thread, you know what I mean? And I'd have to be satisfied with that and go home. Sometimes I'd get lucky and I'd get 2-3 threads of information. Sometimes I sat in a meeting and it wasn't nothing, you know what I mean? Nothing, man. It was a complete blank, except when I went home, I realized, wow, man, I did something I never did before. I was patient. I sat and I listened to a whole bunch of funky bullshit. So you see, I never have ever gone home empty-handed from these meetings, man. You know, see? I've gained principle, and I've gained some self-discipline, man, and I've gained patience, the three things that all dope fiends and people with compulsive personalities lack, you know. And I'm a hell of a long ways from well, man, you know. See, I still throw telephones through doors, you know what I mean, and I still kick dogs and want to hit broads and, you know, all kinds of weird shit, man, because I'm sick inside. But I'm better today than I used to be, you know what I mean? I'm a whole lot better today than I used to be, and consequently, I like myself a little bit better. I trust myself a little bit better, so I can like people a little bit more. I can trust people a little bit more, and I even love myself a little bit, so I can love some other people, you know. See, and love is not a stiff dick, you know. It happens to be like a thing of fellowship, man, and brotherly love, and there's a guy that comes around here, an old timer, you know, a little old man, and he's always talking about the, you know, the fellowship of man and brotherly love, and you know, and they used to think, God, why doesn't that guy go home, man? You know what I mean? But today I know, you know what I mean? Today I know what he's talking about, because I felt it and I've experienced it, man, and it's a hell of a lot better than any goddamn heroin, I can tell you that. And boy, you got to go a long ways to beat smack, you know. A long ways. So.
Hi,
Don. Keep coming back. Hi, Randy.
Somebody has a problem, you know, and somebody's hurting, you know, then I start, you know, laughing with them, and I realize I'm not, you know, in such bad condition, you know, because there's
All right, so I decided I'm going to take 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C. And this is going to do it. Well, it never did. It got worse. Then I figured, well, there's a lot of juice. I'll go out and I'll hustle a case of oranges and I'll just, you know, back in the work. So, you know, you've got to move. So finally I said, well, there's only one thing to do. I'm just getting a lot of sleep now, you know. Okay, so that brings us up to today. Well, today, you know, they're starting to get heavy. Well, you know, I feel it when I'm sort of fatigued. Finally, I started to look into the steps, you know, and I'm going to step 7 now. I humbly asked him to remove our short and so I've been, you know, praying all day long. God, I don't feel good, you know. I mean, let's have some action here. And, you know, or I just flash him, well, I guess it's God's will, you know. God's will be done. I'm really getting into something heavy lately, and it's really doing me a lot of good. I mean, you know, I don't know if you can identify with this or not. But as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when somebody began to bore me, or when trips were getting, like, inconsequential, I would look at somebody and say, you know, Bangladesh. And, you know, I'll tell you, man, it's really heavy, you know. I don't have to say, shut up. I have to say, you know, yeah, I don't have to say that's, you know. All I say to them is Bangladesh, you know. And sooner or later, people are going to realize what that means, you know. And I'll say, you know, it's really heavy. I don't know, you know, I can't, well, okay, but, you know, for whatever it's worth, that's a system that's really working for one, you know. You know, I've been in recovery houses for quite some time. A lot of the shit I hear, Bill pointed out, is all bullshit, you know. And I hear the same thing over and over and over. So finally, about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, got to the point where I was just, you know, fuck, man, you know, how many times does it do that? So I turned around and I said, Bangladesh, you know. And, yeah, you know, I felt better after I said that. It has had a certain ring. You know? And, I've been doing it ever since. You know, not heavy, but you know, so okay, now, you know, last week's been really great. I found out a lot about my mother. And you know, yeah, this may sound funny, but you know, I mean, I've always had some stigma attached to my mother, you know. I mean, I loved her and I hated her at the same time. And I've only been driving it, you know. Why do I? That I I can say today about myself that I couldn't say a year ago is today I'm sober. Thank you.
Today's Mario.
Hi, Mario.
Hi, Mario.
Hi, Lynn.
And, you know, like for me, just being clean and sober isn't what the program's all about, because I'd like to do more than just stay clean and sober. And when it's all said and done, that's the basis of my life, which is right at before I can do anything, even bordering on normal. But I can't hustle, I can't steal, I can't lie too much. You know, and I can't do too much. It's not part of the thing for me. And, I'm sorry.
God some life. Because I give it
but that's what I'm here at meetings for. I'm working in the living program today. I'm not, I know how to die. Because I have to come here to learn how to live. You know? And that's what sobriety is to me. It's the, you know, comfortable for me. Whatever that is. And, doing, you know, I'm not stealing the wine and sharing on. I can't live with that. That's not fair. Serenity to me is the ability to wake up in the morning, pull the window shade up, and see the sunshine up and stay up around and get the snacks about the sunset along the hills. That's serenity. These are some of the things that the program has given me. You know, like I've had some cars in my life, but I've never bought one. You know, and I've had a nice bed, but it's never been mine. You know, I've had a lot of things like that. There's material things that are so easily given out to those cars. And,
I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know. I just have a hell of a lot to be grateful for today. You know, like I'm sober and I'm clean today. You know, I don't know what some people come here for. You know, it's none of my business. I know what I come here for. You know, and you talk about steps. You know, I hear steps every meeting I go to. Steps are read at every meeting I go to, how it works. They're suggested to me. And I don't know, I got a sponsor that tells me, huh, that any problem I may have, you know, can be found between the covers of that book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll jump in there in a minute. Jump in there in a hot minute, you know. I don't know, at one time I was an actor. I wanted people to like me.
Tell them a sweet story, will you? I like that.
I'd act this way for one individual, act another way for another individual, you know. I don't know what some of you people are, you know, like that. See, I at one time, I was at Cry Help, you know. And the whole goddamn place could be shitty. But what was I doing there? I could very easily, get myself in a bind and climb a wall, you know, start instigating or whatever. There's no food in the house. And there's no program here. So we got a bunch of assholes here. Justifying. Thing is, that what am I doing? What was I doing there? You know, and this pulled me through. This is what's pulling me through today, you know. I don't know. I can't intellectualize, you know, and give you all these beautiful words. But I know that, somebody's looking out for me, you know. See, I've turned my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understand it, you know. And I got people going up doing a little research work for me, you know. Then they come back and tell me about it. I was one of the guys that used to go out and do research work for other people, you know, and then have to come back and hide my head down, you know, and tell them what an asshole I've been, you know. I hurt. Today I hurt, you know. But I don't have to stick a needle in my arm, or I don't have to take a pill or drink. See, I had to do a little research on alcohol, you know. I knew damn well I was a dope fiend, you know. But I forgot what alcohol had done to me. See, I had to go out and do a little research, being one of these hard hit fellas, you know. You know, it takes what it takes for each and every one of us. You know, I can't keep any one of you sober, but I can do something for self. You know, today, you know, I'm learning how to say no. You know? And this was very hard for me to do, you know, because I'm supposed to be one of these so-called regulars. You know? Today, I'm one of these regular damn fools. You know? I'm one of these athletes today, you know. Well, we used to get up on top, you know, on the 13th floor and the 10th floor and the 11th floor and look at all them damn fools down there, you know, huh? Going to work every day, you know. That's what I am, one of them damn fools, you know. I had to give up a lot of them things, like wearing Bonnaroo blues, you know. I paid the price to get here, you know, and like I'll go to any length to, you know, maintain my sobriety. See, I just reversed that. Like I'd go to any length to, you know, get my drugs, you know. Today I'll go to any length to maintain my sobriety. A lot of people, you know, might get loaded the way I work my program, you know. Or maybe people won't get a damn thing out of what I say, you know. But that's unimportant, you know. The thing is that I'm getting something out of it. I'm getting something about, and you know, you talk about 15 years and 10 years and 5 years. You know what? Like, I can get something out of a guy that's just got one day if he'll open up his mouth or let me talk to him. To me, you know, I got a form with, you know, quality and quantity. Like, I know a lot of people that, for Christ's sake, you know, like, got 20 years or 15 years or whatever they got, you know. And if I had to be as miserable as they are, you know, I'd rather be drunk. Or I'd rather be out there sticking a needle in my arm. I don't know, I'm just grateful to be here, you know. I don't know, it will work. As long as I stay out of the way. I've got somebody I can go to if I get squirreled up, you know. I don't tell everybody, you know. My life isn't an open book. And, you know, I don't have to like everybody. Because, you know, there's a lot of us assholes in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, you know. But that's all right, you know. You know, I don't have to, you see, like I said, you should be an actor. You know, want to be your life. You know what? Today, there's people carrying me on their back. Where at one time, I was carrying people on my back. And that's what it's at. You know, there's people that had a hell of an image. I had a hell of an image, you know. I had to live up to this image, you know. You know, a day at a time, you know, I'm breaking it away, breaking this image down, you know. It hurts, you know. It hurts. But as long as I don't take a drink or a pill, you know, I got a chance. I'm trying to build a foundation. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to live out here with the rest of these so-called normal people. I don't know how to live. No, like I say, I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you.
My name is Chuck. I'm an addict. I'll call it.
Hi, Chuck.
I guess I've had a pretty good week. Well, I don't know if I had a good week or not. I know it got worse Saturday. However it was before that. I'm going to pick up my dad in Santa Clara. He's still a practicing alcoholic. I know what he's like, and I guess I was trying to 12-step him, and I got hot at him, and said a few things that didn't. And so now I'm going to have to go back in a minute because I feel bad about it. played Monopoly. Somebody had a ball and playing Monopoly all day long and played Monopoly. Just sat around in the yard. A couple of years ago, if anybody had told me 2 years from now you're going to be playing Monopoly and having fun at it, I would have told them it was yes. But I really had a ball and just sitting around when we went to the meeting last night. I got more comfort there.
Jack, I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Jack.
You know, it's been about 4 or 5 months since I've been to this meeting, and I'm sitting looking at everybody, and there's about half the people that are here were here when I was here before. Most of them were here when I walked in here. And that's a guess, you know. See that many people around? Because when I first came around, I said, well, only, you know, maybe 10-15% of you or something like that are going to be here. Maybe next week. You know, there's a lot of people here. You know, when I came in, and soon after, you know, I came in 5 months ago, there's about 10, 12 people here that were here before, and that's a guess. But, you know, to me, all this show, you know, what this show is, I don't care if they, you know, they had 17 slips in between. But that proves to me, you know, that the program goes well. They say, well, come back. Even if every one of them has gone out and gotten loaded since, you know, it was at this meeting once. And, if I should have to, you know, go out and research, I know this place, I hope I can make it back, but I know there's a place for me. Whereas I didn't when I first came in. I didn't think there was a place where, you know, especially dopamine, you know, I didn't think dopamine to make it. Ray was saying about even the person with one day can have a message for them. When I found that out for sure, you know, I've always believed it, but I found that out for sure last week. You know, I was, you know, getting on a big bummer because I didn't rap at meetings, you know. Since I came back up to LA, I was going to meetings for about 2 weeks. It's really getting triggered up. And I thought it was because of the meetings, you know. Well, I was in San Diego. San Diego meetings are heavy, man, you know, I was comfortable at them. Now I was getting driven up. I said, man, the meetings up here really stink. And then I had, you know, I couldn't believe that, you know, sight on the meetings for 4 or 5 months up here. And I was, you know, I'm still here. So there must have been something at these meetings, and I, you know, came to the big decision that the only difference between the meetings here and there is that down there I was participating in the meetings, and up there I was just sitting thinking how I should be participating and just sitting there. And then this girl got up, well, someone else got up and was talking about speaking at meetings. You know, saying, yeah, I should raise my hand. You know, like the big-headed fool I am, I just sat there and watched somebody else raise their hand. And then this girl got up and was, that was it. That was my message. I'd start getting with myself. I say I was going to turn it over to you. I say I'm turning it over to you. I should be up there speaking. But why don't you make the guy call on me? The guy call on me, I go up there. You know? But, so that's how I was turning it over, with the condition that he calls on me. And then this girl gets up there. She's been on the program a little over 3 years. She had gotten a 2-year tape. She was back in 3 days sobriety. You know, she went back. Checked out some of that alcohol and a bunch of pills, and basically right now what I was going through, she said, you know, she wasn't speaking, she was, a lot of shit was building up in her, and she went out and got it. You know, I sat there, I said, well, you know, that's up. I feel like speaking, and I know I should be up there speaking, but I really don't think I'm going to get loaded up right now. But that was that day. I don't think even if I go up there and speak, I would have gotten loaded that day. But I might have been next. She got me worried, you know, just a little bit, enough. As soon as she got off that stage, and the leader of the meeting was meetings was speaking, and I wasn't even going to wait until he stopped to pick on somebody he knew, and I just stuck my hand up and cut him right in the middle, and he stopped right in the middle. I went up there and I spoke, and I was so nervous before I went up there, man. But as soon as I went up there, the needle stuck out his hand. Couldn't see up there, and I was calm. I didn't even start speaking, but you know, it was calm. The dude stuck out his hand, and good to see up there. And it was good to be up there, man. And like, that was like only the third or fourth time I'd ever stood up and spoke in a meeting. And that's what worried me also. All the meetings that I've been going through are like this. It's easier, I guess, for me to speak from sitting down. Because I remember the first couple of times I had up and spoken to this. I couldn't make it more than 30 seconds. I thought I was going to freak out up there. And then I'd walk out and say, well, I didn't even remember seeing anything. It was just a bit of water. But I got up there, saw everything, and I was comfortable. And I was able to stay up there more than 30 seconds. And I was able to get some of my shit out. I was able to rap comfortably. I didn't feel I had to run through it. I always used to sit at these meetings, this one, any other meeting, and I'd hear people talking. And every time somebody says something, whether it's bullshit or not, because I got as much bullshit as anybody else in me, and they click something, and I start thinking to myself, well, when they call on me, I'm going to, you know, I start planning what I'm going to say. And I found out that I can't do it that way. Because what happens, I get 4 million things to say. There's no way. I can't retain a damn thing in my head. So I ended up starting to speak, and 30 seconds later I was through. And then the next guy was speaking. I said, wow, I had so much to say, man. I had a heavy message to carry. I'm not worried about carrying a heavy message anymore. I figure, you know, like this, but another reason why even if a guy was one day clean has a message is because he's there. If he can stay clean today, that's all we're doing, whether we got 6 months or a year, 12 years or 15 years. That's all we're doing, staying clean, you know, for one day. I've got one day clean. There's no one here that has any more than that today. So, I just lost track of something. Jim?
What?
My name is Jim, I'm an alcoholic.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, you woke me up. I don't know, I think a lot of it, for me, which seems to help, is that I don't seem to have this enormous need for attention that I used to have. See, for a long time I had to be the worst alcoholic or the worst dope addict or the meanest guy or something like that. And then I got sober and I was going to save everybody. I had to be the most spiritual guy, you see. And that was just another means of competing with everybody. And really, you see, I was so busy competing with everyone that I never enjoyed just being me. And that's the way it was for a long time. And a lot of the things that I did for AA were in competition with other people. Not really in the spirit of any kind of brotherhood. Not any real concern for anybody else, but just for my own self-gratification. But it's kind of funny that even with the motive like that, that somehow along the line, it seems that I really began to care about other people. Just a little bit, not much, but that was more than I'd ever felt in my life. And it seemed like when I, not this enormous, you know, it's the end of the world if they get drunk, because I felt that way for a while too, because you see, that was really fear about me, because if somebody else didn't stay sober, it was scared me. It really scared me bad, plus if I knew the person. But more and more, a genuine concern about someone else. And isn't it funny that when I took the time to try to understand you, that all my life I'd spent understanding me and I got nowhere and I began to get somewhere when I took the time to try to understand you. When I took the time to listen to you and consider your needs and your emotions, that I found a relief from this self-obsession that I've been faced with all my life. And if you'd explained it to me, I'd have never understood it. It's not really important. It seems like there's some... It was either this high or low point. I was either the most important guy, or I was the most out-of-it guy, or I was the biggest, or the meanest guy, or the scared... You know, not just the guy somewhere in the middle. And to more and more, it seems I got that line in the 12 and 12. The part of the alcoholic's problem is either wanting to be at the top of the heap or the bottom. Never just a worker among worker, a friend among friends. And I'm coming to believe slowly that a little bit of emotional maturity is somewhere in the middle. I'm not any more important than you, or I'm not any less than you. And I'm beginning to feel that way more. I have respect for me, but that doesn't mean I have to step on you. And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, I won't say that, but slowly, I'm not fighting things as much. I'm not fighting you as much. And I'm really not trying to be anything as much. I'm still pretty phony. I still play a lot of games in competition with other people. But gradually, it seems that I'm becoming just whatever that is. Hostile some days, a little quiet some days, and it's okay. It's all right to be me, because I'm a human being. It's all right. And as I begin to accept me as a human being, as I learn to forgive me, I learn to forgive you. But it starts at home, because I can't give away something I don't have. If I've not forgiven me, how can I forgive you? And one thing, I really got a big release from the other day. I feel like I finally forgiven my parents. And I hated them for a long time. Both of them. I really did. Now, if you hate both of the people that brought you into the world, how can you feel about yourself? You see, in my hate for them, never did them a bit of harm, really. It was tearing me apart. And it was making so I could never have a decent relationship with a woman because I was hating. And it wasn't anybody else's fault. It was me that conjured it up. But I had a long talk with my mom, and I laid some stuff out that I never wanted to tell anybody. And I was sure that I could never, ever tell my mom this stuff. And I did. And I did. I thought it was a big thing. And it was funny. I got a release. And I felt that I had forgiven myself. And I felt, maybe she, I know she got something out of it. You see, I was concerned, but I was more concerned about me if I want to get well. I really did. And I believe it's going to take time. But I believe that it can happen. I believe I see a lot of examples of people who are living productive lives, who are making it in the world. I see it all the time. I see people who came from the gutter and who are doing something with their lives. It's not so much those outside things, but they have a little something on the inside. They really do. And they have friends, too. And I have more friends than I ever had in my life. And that's kind of nice. It's not a big, great thing, and it's not a little thing. It's kind of nice. It's kind of a lot easier just to be me than to try to be something that I think you would have me be, that I might impress you, that I might try to compete with you. It's a lot easier just to try to be me, to try to let you be you. And then I find that it's kind of nice. That's all.
My name is Don Snyder. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Hi, Don.
I don't know. A lot of people. 95% of the things said in here is bullshit. I don't know. You know, I still to this day really can't separate the shit from the ice cream. I heard a lot of things. I had the image when I first came around this program that one day I was just going to be blissfully beautiful and so far together that I'd never have a depressed moment. Yeah, it turned out to be bullshit, but you know what? I'm damn glad I heard that bullshit. Because you know what? It was that glamorizing crap that's got me sitting in here right now. But you know what? That was a half-truth because I find out today that there really is sometimes that type of beauty without the use of chemicals. Yesterday, I had a beautiful day. One of the greatest. It was a highlight, man. I was up in Pear Blossom, up in the mountains. It was beautiful. Quiet. The air was just brisk, you know? And it was really nice. Beautiful view, snow-capped mountains, the whole bit, you know? And man, it was just so beautiful, you know? I was with a girl that I really liked, you know? And, man, it was just a wonderful day. And, you know, what I'm telling you, man, I even woke up, went to work smiling, or school smiling this morning. So today after school, I had a kind of a frightening experience. Being on chemicals so many years, you know, I had more stupidity than I did beer, I think. I walked into a donut shop and some guy remembered me. He seemed to, the thing was, it's a friend of mine burned him for some money. And so he couldn't find my friend, so he decided he wanted it for me. He says, you got the money? And I told him, I says, well, I says, first of all, I didn't take it from you, and I don't have it, you know. And even if I did, you wouldn't get it for me. He says, all right, then we're going to fight. And all of a sudden, I got scared. I got damn scared. I don't know why, but I just got just scared to death. The guy grabbed a hold of my jacket, and I pushed him away, man, you know, and I just split, you know. And I got in the car, and I drove away, and I was just shaking, you know, and what happened? And I kept on thinking to myself, should I go back and kill him, man? You know, what if somebody saw me run away from that? Oh, my God, you know, and even me, I saw me do it. You know, that's really, you know, my whole memory, it's the first time I ever really fearfully ran away from the fight. The rest of the time, you know, I had to keep my pride up and self-respect. You know, I had to keep the respect of others up. You know, well, there's a lot of, you know, basically, I guess right down to it, it's a damn good thing I ran away from it. You know, I don't care how tough I am or how tough that guy was, I would have probably suffered a torn shirt, maybe even a black eye at the most. I walked away with that. I walked away with, you know, the money I got on me right now. But you know, but you know what? If I would have burned that guy, I would have paid him back today. But I didn't. But I got really scared, man, and I just ran away from that guy. And what was bothering me that I walked away from a fight. A long time ago, I think it may have been my dad. He said it takes more guts to back out of a fight than it does to get into one. I can see what it means because right now I'm bothered, man. My self-respect is hurt. You know, my self-esteem is hurt. Because, you know, right now I think, well, I should have just punched the shit out of him. Fuck jail, man. Should have just dropped his ass right there, put his head through a window, killed him, you know? Yeah, shouldn't I have, you know? He may have done it to me, first of all. Second of all, man, I could have got away from there without even a torn jacket. But then on the other hand, the police would have come by. Down in this part of town where this happened, the police have known me very well. I've been an image of the guy, the number one guy they wanted to get. Who would have gone to jail? Him or me? I wonder. So the thing is, I don't know, it kind of bothers me, but you know, there's something to learn behind just that right there. Me cowering out of a fight, you know? Maybe that's good. I know another guy in the program, he just goes, jumps right into him, kicks their ass every time, you know? Well, I don't know, maybe I could have kicked this guy's ass, you know, I'll really never know. But you know what? Maybe I'm bothered by this, but he didn't get his $5, you know? But, you know, man, but you know, but the whole thing is, you know, I'm sober. I haven't used any chemicals in almost a year now. Not at all. I haven't smoked any weed. I haven't sniffed any glue. Drank a lot of coffee and smoked cigarettes, but neither one of them ever got me to jail. Neither one of them. It may kill me someday of lung cancer, but, you know, it's a price I'm going to have to pay. But anyways, you know, things really, since I've been on this program, things have got better for me. Materially, spiritually, mentally, and physically, they've got better for me. They've got better in every way. Really, they have. They've improved. I've been extremely depressed at times, but I've always came out of it. Things continually kept on getting better without depression. I would have probably put a bullet in my head. You see, I got to feel them downgrades a little bit, man, to appreciate the betterness, you know? It's kind of like, you know, after all, smoking pot kind of gets good, you know what I mean? After all, it just isn't that enjoyable anymore. Think about the moderation of once a month. I couldn't do that. I'd burn things out. But things have improved. I got a little bit more courage today, you know, mentally. I don't know about physically. I don't know how tough I am. I really don't these days. You know, maybe I could kill you, maybe you could kill me. I don't know. It doesn't really make any difference. I haven't had a fight since I've been sober this time. Not one. Not even really close to one. Not really. You know, except for today. And I ran away from it. So I still got a clean slate with fight. You know? But, you know, I'm really grateful for this program. You know? It just took just a tiny bit of effort, man, and a belief in a power greater than myself, and I'm here today. This program really does work for anybody that's new around here. I think the whole thing is stay sober, man, and try to work the steps to the best of your ability. try and think, talk positive, and maybe things will get better for you. I know they have for me. Today, things have got better. I'm grateful to be here. The program works. Thank you.
My name is Bob, and I'm not Bob.
Hi, Bob.
And last week, one of the ladies, too swell. I've been going through a lot of living problems, you know, that I can't ever remember having to go through them when I was clean and sober before. And they really been messing with me a little bit. You know, I got to thinking about, well, what's wrong? What can I do about it? And something I gotta straighten out and get together if I'm gonna, you know, stay sober. You know, and what the whole thing is I constantly try to run it, you know, the show. I got to be in command of everything. I got to tell, you know, you do it this way, it's got to be done this way, you know. And I can't control everything. You know, what's wrong is that second step, you know, thing to believe the power greater than myself is a strong intent. But there is, you know, there's somebody up there that's running everything, you know. There's got to be. And, you know, I just have to say, you know, help him. I can't handle it. Let him take over. Things like that. Yesterday afternoon, I started getting crazy again, and I went through a little number last night, and then this morning, you know, I woke up and I was still in it, you know, and so I thought, well, Jesus Christ, here I go again, you know, same old fucking bullshit, and he got insane again, you know. So I go and I get my little book out and I start reading through the steps, and here I am, I'm on number 10, you know, this one about, you know, continue to take a daily personal inventory and promptly admit it when you're wrong, you know. And this is the son of a bitch for me, you know, just going to print somebody and saying, you know what, man,
I'm sorry, I was on.